Support for WPR comes from Wills on behalf of Wisconsin Public Libraries, offering access to ebooks, audiobooks, digital magazines, and more. Available with a Wisconsin Library card at wisconsinsdigitallibrary.org.
Time moves pretty quickly in the world of computers, doesn't it? Even if you buy the latest and greatest model, it's probably going to be passed up by a new generation machine and sometimes just a matter of a few months. But with upgrades to software and hardware, our current machine can run like new if everything goes okay, but it can be scary to install a major reworking of hardware or software without knowing how well it's going to work after. And our guest has some warnings about what to do before installing an upgrade in order to save you a lot of headaches. Peter Green of Infostar.com, my guest. Hi, I'm Larry Mueller. Great to have you along. Pete's an independent computer consultant. Provides great information and resources at Infostar.com. Great to have him along. And Pete, always good to see you.
Always great, Larry. I'm glad to share what I've been through.
Well, last month we talked about some operating updates and in general about whether we should always do them when they come out. Well, since the show, you've had a couple of personal experiences with operating system updates.
They happen to be Apple updates this time. In the past, you know, Windows updates. And we even talked about the Windows 8.1 coming out versus, you know, living with the original 8 and changes to that. But it's always been, in my experiences with Windows, especially with the changes of the platform from, let's say, Windows XP to Windows 7 to Windows 8. Windows has always provided a program that you can run. And in fact, when you go to install it, there are I've seen Windows come back and say, hey, there are problems with these programs that when you make this change that you might have compatibility issues. So they give you a list of what they feel are going to be problem programs that you maybe want to be aware of. Mm-hmm. So not thinking about that with Apple, I tried to run it on my desktop Mac Pro, and it had 10.6.8 and had plenty of, you know, resources and stuff. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go for it because it was Apple released Mavericks. And said it was free through their app store. So it's like, yeah, wow, let's go for it. And it came back. It said, no, not going to work on this system. And I was like, all excited. I want to see this. I want to get it going. So I took my MacBook Pro, and it said, sure, yeah, we can handle this machine. We'll keep proceeding forward with it. And it kept going and going and going. And totally, you know, and you could do time machine backups and stuff, but when you do a major upgrade to the operating system, going from 10.6.8 to 10.9, which is Mavericks, taking a step back after the fact is not an easy thing. Mm-hmm. But being forewarned that there might be issues with programs that you have installed in your prior version would be a nice thing.
Yeah.
And especially since it had said, hey, you know, this machine can't handle it. And I had to look to another machine to experience the, you know, enthusiastic attempt to upgrade my machine. And I was disappointed, so I jumped to another machine. And I said, okay, I'm going to do this one. And it went through this whole process of doing the upgrade. And it came back. And right before it was ready to take me to the desktop, it said, you know, we have a problem with this one program. And it popped it up and said, we're going to just tuck it away and tell you, and that's it.
Yeah, it's all
and
that.
And all that. And basically, that was a virtual machine that it blew away, a virtual drive. And I went out on the internet, the web, to search for an answer. And, of course, it's gone because the update took care of that. So anything that was in that virtual space was gone.
Gone.
And the program that was creating that virtual space happens to be Parallels. There were this talk on the internet about the different versions, and if you had certain versions, even you couldn't upgrade to the latest one because of it was just. So I was like, okay, it is what it is. But people should know that Apple in the latest upgrade is not telling you that there are issues with programs. So the due diligence on your part, if you're going to do an upgrade, is to make sure that you know of all the programs on your system, the favorite ones you have or the things that are important to you, is just make sure that you know the consequences of the upgrade, whether or not you're going to be okay or not. Now, the other thing is, so that's one. And then I think it was about a week later, and we talked about this last time about, you know, Apple having the iOS 7 coming out. So everything went fine with the 7 on my iPhone, and then there were a couple little patches, and then 7.03 came along and had a list of things. I was like, oh, okay, this is not a big deal, and went ahead and did it, and it came back. And you know, Apple is really good about making backups of your phone. But I alerted them to a problem that I have with that after what happened with mine. And luckily, I got to talk to a senior technician at Apple, because they need to fix that. Is that the phone got bricked, and I used that term last month.
Yeah.
And I've used it before. And it basically means it renders the device useless, so you can throw it as if it were a brick or a stone. And so it's finally called bricking. And what that means is I got the symbol of about, you know, having to go to iTunes and do a factory restore. And I tried all the little tricks you can do with holding the home button and the power button at the same time and counting at 6 or 10 or whatever you want to do. Nothing worked. So I did the factory restore, and I tried to do a restore from my system. And it's after it got through, and my phone's pretty full, and after it got through, maybe about 60% of the way, it crapped out and said, sorry, your backup is incompatible or corrupt. I was like, oh, that's great. So I took that file. I had already backed up the file, so I had other chances at it. So I moved it to another Windows system. So I was using Windows to back up the iPhone. And it came up and said the same thing. So I went through this for maybe about a day and a half, and I decided, oh, you know what? I'm going to call them and see if they've got any other game plan to bring things back. And one of the things is make sure that at a minimum you're backing up your contacts and your calendar and maybe whatever else will fit in that 5 gigabyte cloud space that they give you, because they give you 5 gigabytes of cloud space for free. Anything beyond that, they'll charge you for. But if you have that feature turned on, at least you're backing up what I think are really important. You know, I don't know if it'll back up your messages or your notes, but you can look in that and see what your options are. So I got on the phone with AT&T as my provider. They patched me through to Apple. They actually remotely logged into my system. They saw what I saw, and they then put me through to a senior tech, and he said, well, we can only get you back your current contacts and your calendar because that's backed up to the cloud. And I had already attempted a backup from one of my Apple systems, but it was an older backup, so of course it wasn't current. So at least I got my contacts and my calendar current, but everything else wasn't. And he said, you can use a third-party utility, and I had already done that to look at my data, and it said, hey, you have all these records, all these data, you know, all this data and all these records. And I was like, it's there. But Apple's backup restore is saying it's either it's not compatible or it's corrupt. And I had already moved it to another Windows machine and tried it and several times and still getting the same results. So I parted ways, and then I thought, there's one more thing I can try. And I copied the backup file from the Windows machine to the Apple, and it appeared in the right area of the Apple machine. So you have to understand where these backup files exist. And on a Windows machine, they're hidden. So you actually can type in, it tells, if someone does a search online, you can see where your iPhone backup is. But then you might have to type in the path in Windows Explorer to actually get there,
to it. Yeah.
Because it won't show you because it's hidden. But I copied that backup file to the Apple location, and it came as a choice, and I was able to successfully restore. So I called Apple Tech back. He gave me his phone number. He said, call me back if anything changes. Call him back, and I told him I was able to successfully do that. But I said, one of the things that you guys are doing that you have to stop doing is you made a backup when you migrated my machine from 7.02 to 7.03, and then I had already done a backup restore for my Apple, but like I said, it wasn't good enough, and I hooked it back up to that window machine, the original one. What I noticed was it overwrote the what they called the corrupt or not compatible backup, which would have been my only source of data. And I said, you have to stop doing that. You can't update somebody's machine and then keep overriding their backups like that. You need to give people choices because I know what's going on. Can you imagine, you know, the frustration with people going through dealing with that and then losing their data? Because it's your data. It's not Apple's data. They need to change their mindset about that.
Peter Green of Infostar.com, our guest, with some sad stories about apps here. Ron in Newburgh has a question for you. Ron, what's on your mind?
Yes, and unfortunately, I do not have anywhere near the competency to understand what Peter's doing here.
Sure you do. You're working on it right now.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyhow, some time ago, Yahoo changed the way their email system works. I've got XP. I've hardly been able to send out emails. I think I finally mastered that over the weekend. But you want to use draft mode so you can type a letter, get partway, put it in draft. I'm looking at what it does for me now. Yahoo Mail is having a problem retrieving the original email for reply or forward. Trying to copy. I had some nice pictures of the Northern Lights in Norway. I wanted to copy it. I can't figure out any way of doing it. And Yahoo does not answer their phone.
They've
got too many people coming in, and they say, and please be aware that there is no way possible to back up and use our original emails.
Okay.
What's a guy like me do?
Okay, couple of things. Number one, they're probably, you know, Windows XP has been what you call sunsetted by Microsoft as far as an operating system. So anything that Yahoo is doing moving forward, they're not looking at, you know, user support on the XP platform. So that's one area of compatibility that you're probably dealing with. Another one is if you're experiencing problem with their email and certain features, but you want to continue to use it, then what you have to do is kind of do workarounds. So if you're working on creating a draft, you probably would want to create the draft maybe in Word or Notepad or your favorite word processor. And then when you're done and you're ready to send it, then you just do a copy and paste and send it through, you know, Yahoo Mail. The other thing is to look at a different email provider, someone like either Hotmail or Google Gmail, which has a lot of features, and just have your Yahoo Mail forwarded to that email address, and you can communicate with your peers, your friends, relatives, and tell them that your email address has changed, but you can still use the Yahoo address to have things forwarded to you, and you just work around that.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling. And Tom in Milwaukee, up to you now. Hi, thanks for calling.
Good morning. We've got a computer using Windows 7. It's a year old. And about a month ago, it basically quit working. We had something come up that it said it had a failure. I was able to save the data through safe mode, but then it just wouldn't work. So I did a total recover, not a restore, but a whole recover, reloaded our software, and there wasn't much on that we had. But anyway, everything was working fine. Reloaded the files, the email, everything. Now everything seems to work just fine, except every so often we get a blue screen with white printing and all this stuff you can't read fast enough, but essentially it says we're doing a data dump or it's had a problem and whatever, and it's doing a data dump. It goes through this and then comes back and everything basically works fine. If we're into a program set or just on the net at Google or doing something, when it comes back, we can just click on our browser and we take off where it left off.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of a, what's a data dump or?
Yeah, what's going, there could be a number of things going on. One is, one thing that comes to mind is related to you, what you're going through is you might want to look and see if any of the device drivers, especially the video and the audio, need to be updated or possibly for the system board in your computer. There might be a problem with one of the device drivers and how it's interacting with the operating system and it's causing this crash. The other thing is it could be the sign of a component that's actually failing, and it failed so bad the first time you did the, you know, factory restore and brought it back, and now the fact that you've got it and you're using it, but it's still sort of crashing on you, is there's either, like I said, a device driver that is outdated and has a problem, or it's just, you know, through being used and being warm, you know, it's bumping into what is causing an issue, whether it's, you know, a memory problem. And you really don't know until these parts fail. You could take them, if you've got banks of memory chips, you could take them out and move them around. You know, of course, you shut the machine off and, you know, pay attention to how they're in. And you could go online and look at YouTube videos and, you know, in terms of how to remove and put reseat memory. So that, you know, that's one easy thing to try. The other thing is with crashes and stuff, sometimes you have issues. The operating system develops issues with the operating system software. And what you can do, you can go online and research this, but I believe the command is /scan now, or you can just type in, you know, probably Google search SFC scan now and see what comes up, and it'll go through a whole bunch of reiterations of using the command line, but you're going to do it through a command prompt, so you're actually talking to like the disk operating system window on Windows, and you're basically saying, go out on my machine and look at all my Windows operating system program files and check them and verify them for me and tell me if they're okay, and if they're not, then go out and fix them if you can. Sometimes it'll go out, most of the time it'll go out and fix them and verify them, but there are times where it won't, because it just has an issue trying to make the correction. Either it's because it's having a problem with the drive or whatever it is, but it'll tell you, and it'll give you the details on that.
Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling, Tom. Well, you have Mary and Madison a chance to join in. Mary, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you for letting me call in. I'm having an issue with my iPhone, and it occurred after, not this last update, but I believe it was 7.02 update. After that update, I couldn't use Wi-Fi, and I took it out to the Apple Store, and it would lock into their Wi-Fi, so I didn't the 703 update while there, and it worked fine there. The Wi-Fi was working fine, but when I got it back home, it still won't work at home. Well, they had said to me to do to back it up and then do a factory reset. My question is, I can't back it up to the cloud. It is backed up to my computer, so am I safe to do a factory reset? I'm feeling a little tenuous about this.
Yeah, I would be too, because what I just talked about earlier is that the backup that they do, you know, unless you take the time to, you know, you got to find out where that is on your machine and make sure you make copies of it, because they're going to overwrite that file right now. Okay. I doubt, based on my conversation with Apple, if they're going to jump out there and fix it the next day. So my assumption would be that
my PC in iTunes.
It's backed up by iTunes, but it's not. It's on your PC. If you're using Windows for your main computer to back it up,
right?
Yeah, it's. You can go online, research this, and put in just do a search and say, you know, where is my iPhone iTunes Windows backup files, and you'll find links to pages, and it'll say. It's under your users, and then your username, And then it will be I believe it's app data, which is the hidden file. And then within app data is, I think it's roaming. And then it's Apple computer, or no, it might be Apple computer and then roaming and then mobile sync. So there's this whole path and those are all hidden. So it's your data, but they hide it from you.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
Isn't that nice?
So,
yeah.
So, and, on the Apple system, it's under, I know it's, well, it's in a different location. We'll not get into that to confuse you, but it's not hidden. It's there. You just have to know where to go and find it. But in the Windows, it's a little tricky because once you go into your user file, the app data is hidden, and you have to put in, when you're in that user folder, you have to put in / app data, and then it will magically appear, and then you can drill down to the other ones, where it is.
So it's users and then my user identity, app data, / Apple computer roaming mobile sync?
Yeah, I think that's it. But you can go online and look. There are resources. There are pages out there that talk about that. I'm sure Apple even has a page up there. But so that those files then, here's the real kicker, is it doesn't just say, Joe or Jane Smith backup.
Oh.
It's this crazy, I don't even know what the best, it's like hieroglyphics, it's just this mishmash of all these letters and numbers and doesn't say, what day it is, but it appears in the Apple list that it is, your backup from your device on a certain day. So you have to copy that folder.
So would I be best looking for the date rather than the identity?
I would copy all of them.
Okay.
So, I mean, to be safe, that's what I did. I know there were iPhone backups and there were iPad backups on my system, so I was just being safe and I copied all of them. And you could probably look at the date and kind of guess, but, if guessing with your data is not a safe way to go about it, so you just do all of them. And, to me, they have to make it more intuitive for the user, that this whole thing that we're talking about shouldn't be, because like I said, it's your data, it's not their data, and it should be more intuitive in terms of how to gain access to it and how to work with it, especially if you need to do a backup. Now, they're telling you to do a factory restore. Factory restores and then full restores from backup files, they're not as good. They're never as good as what you have.
Yeah.
And what I would do is I would kind of sit back a little bit and with your Wi-Fi issue, and especially since 7.02, 7.03, they're current, fairly recent. And, you're complaining, having issues with it. There might be other people out there, and there might very well be a fix for it, because those updates did not change my Wi-Fi, apparently it's done it for you, and there might be other people in the same position. So I would be a little patient and just kind of wait before I go ahead and do that factory restore.
Yeah, there you go. Have a little patience. Have a little patience, Mary. Lori in Sparta, turning to you next. Hi, Lori.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Well, what can we do for you?
Well, I purchased a new computer October 26th. On the 27th, it froze up, and I talked to tech people, and they just said, take it back to the store. I took it back to the store. They plugged it in. It was fine. Now I cannot send email out. I have Windows 7, and the email I have is, webmail 4.0. And for some reason, I can get email just fine, but it comes in, and under the date, I get military time, and I've gone into preferences and checked that over, and there's nothing there that should be giving me military time. But here's what happens when I try to send the mail. I get this message, type error, unable to get property, and then little parenthesis thing, node type of undefined or null preferences. And it can't, apparently, I get, it comes back with reason 5505.1.1, user unknown.
Hmm.
And when I get an email, it'll say, what was it? It's like, it doesn't, where it says from is fine, and then it'll say, oh, this time it said who it was to. Last time it said unknown person. It's just the screwiest thing I ever saw.
Who's your service provider?
CenturyTel.
So you're able to receive, but you're not able to send.
Yes.
Okay, a couple of things. One is, it sounds to me like there's something amiss in your settings for sending the email. In other words, being able to pass through their post office, which is CenturyTel is your post office. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So sometimes it's as simple as like a space, an extra space, or a comma instead of a period, or it's not being referenced with the right phrase.
Okay.
So what you need to do is, you can either log on to their website, and they'll probably give you settings for your email client that you're using,
okay,
you know, to send.
I have to say, it worked for some days, and then it just suddenly stopped.
Right. Well, sometimes, there's a number of things going on. Number one is, it could be CenturyTel is having a problem. So calling them and finding out if they have any issues is a good thing. Because
I have been calling them. They've been the tech backup.
Okay. So they should be able to step you through all the settings on your machine to make sure that they're correct.
Okay.
All right. Because that's what they should be doing for you, since you're using them as a service provider.
Well, the ones I talked to wanted me to download a new Java and check for cookies and a bunch of stuff that seemed a little strange because it's so new.
Well, sometimes those things still need to be updated, even though they're new, because a brand new computer coming out of the I have a little bit of a funny story to tell. Sometimes the computers coming from the factory are not current, so there are updates to be applied and so forth. And I remember making a tech call because I had a problem, and I've told this a long time ago, with a laptop where I had a problem logging in, and there was a, it turned out to be a bug in the driver for the Wi-Fi hardware in the laptop, and it wouldn't allow me to log on to the internet. But the tech reply to the problem I was having is that I must have a worm virus on my machine. And I said, I'm trying to get on the internet. Are you telling me you shipped a worm virus directly from the factory? And they hung up the phone on me because it needed to be updated, but I couldn't update it because there was a flaw in their device driver for the Wi-Fi hardware. So it was a catch-22. And they were telling me I must have downloaded a worm virus on my machine.
Oh, man.
So, you know, even though it's brand new out of the box, some of these things do have issues with flawed products and drivers, and sometimes the hardware goes bad. So he's telling you, or the person you talk to is saying, hey, you should run these updates, and that might be a component that your email software needs to have.
Mm-hmm.
And you said it worked, but then it stopped working. Something tells me there might have been a glitch with maybe a crash or something that you had happen, and just the settings are off a little bit. So my first call would be to the service provider and have them go through with you what you should have for email, and they should be sending you, and you should be sending them test messages to make sure you're all, you know, everything's working.
Yeah. Good luck, Lori. Thank you very much for calling. Walt emailed us and wondered, was talking about Windows 7, wondering if you could recommend a password manager for a Windows 7 PC.
Password manager. I personally don't use one, but you could probably find some good ones out on cnet.com, and their sister site is download.com, and they probably have a number of reviews out there for password managers and, you know, keeping things. I think Data Vault was one that came to mind that I know keeps things under lock and key. I don't know if it's really, if you want to call it a password manager, but it's a way to keep things safe, if you want to call it that. So I think Data Vault is one to look at.
Okay. Why don't you use one?
I know. I've been, you know, ever since I was a kid, I was always good at
remembering.
You know, we laughed now. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I probably should be starting to look at that. Yeah. I remember just memorizing so many phone numbers, and then when the, once the cell phone came along, I stopped doing that, and now, yeah.
Phyllis in Cornucopia, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I'm a fairly new Mac user, and I'm trying to figure out how to do what I used to be able to do on my PC system, which was to do a mail merge with a database list. I mean, where do I create a database list, a database in my Mac, and how can I create a mailing list that I can merge into documents and send out letters and things to people?
Well, when you did it with your PC, what did you use for that?
Well, what were those programs like? Office and Office.
I got Office and Works and things like that.
Right.
Apple has, you know, the similar products. I think one of the more popular ones from a database manager is File Manager. I'm trying to remember what the personal version of that. There is a different name.
So they
have, you know, just what you need is just a simple, you know, database program. What is it, iLife and iWorks? You know, those usually come with them, Max, if I'm...
Should have it.
Yeah.
It didn't come with Works. I don't know. Was it MacBook Pro? I don't know. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come with Works, but OS X 10.6, but...
What I would probably do, because I haven't done that personally done it on a Mac, but, I mean, it's, you know, like you said, doing it with Works, you basically, with Microsoft Word and... the Windows Office program that
Windows,
you know, the database manager.
Office manager.
No, it's
we're blanking on it.
But anyhow, you can, you know, you set up your data file, and then you're just grabbing the fields and merging them into Word. Word is available for the Mac as well. Or you could go and, you know, probably look on their app store and do a search for mail merge and, you know, see what comes up there.
Yeah.
That would probably be the easiest solution, is just look under mail merge under their app store. And there's probably something that you can try for free and see if you like it. And they might charge you $2 or $5.
Yeah. Something pretty cheap. Phyllis, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it very much. Peter Green, our guest today, computer consultant with Infostar.com. I'm Larry Mueller. Cynthia Schuster, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here taking a look at your computer and software today with Peter Green of Infostar.com. I am happy to have you listening in. Give us a call if you have a computer or software question. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. George in Columbus says he has a laptop with Windows 7, would like to eliminate the Windows 7 operating system and put the Android Google Chrome format on there. Is there a way that he can do that?
On which system?
Says he has a laptop with Windows 7.
Yeah.
And he wants to eliminate the Windows 7 operating system and install Android Google Chrome format.
Well, you know, that's like trying to create what they called a Hackintosh. You're only able to do that with certain laptops. And the reason I say certain laptops is because you have to find the device drivers to talk to the hardware that you have and the firmware to get it to work with the operating system. So a Windows laptop, an Apple laptop, a Windows tablet, an Apple tablet, and so on and so forth, those have specifically written hardware, software, device drivers, and firmware communication things that are so hard-coded in there that unless someone knows how to break into it and make those changes for changing to a different operating system, you're not able to accomplish that feat. I'm not saying it's impossible, but You got to know somebody that can do that. So that's where the impossibility comes into play. So when I used the term hackintosh, that was a quote-unquote popular thing in the underworld to try and do, was to take a Windows machine and hack into it and make it turn into a Mac. Well, there are a limited number of laptops you can do because they've found the device drivers and the things that are needed to talk to the video, to talk to the audio, the sound component, to talk to the keyboard, and so forth, and the, you know, the drives and things like that. So it's it sounds like a great thing to do, but you really have to do your homework and see which one you could actually do that with.
Karen and Jefferson, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
I have a question for you. I have gone from a PC running Windows Excel to a brand new, my very first laptop running Windows 8. Can you imagine what I'm going through?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my question is, and I can't find anybody, any class, anything that will teach me how to use Windows 8. I missed my toolbar. I want my toolbar back.
Okay, well,
I knew what I was doing on Excel. I don't know what I'm doing with,
sure,
with Windows 8.
Okay, well,
how does one go about learning this?
Okay, what you can do is if you, you know, get on your Windows 8 machine, or you can get onto another machine, take a thumb drive, and there's a program out there called Classic Shell, and I still link to it off of my Infostar.com top 10 links. So the link is there, and it will allow you to get your desktop user interface back so you'll be comfortable with it.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Yeah, you'll
be on the new system, but you'll have the old.
And it's very popular. It works very well. They're also, I don't know if they released 8.1 or, you know, they talked about the beta for a long time.
I've downloaded 8.1.
Okay.
It was an update that was scheduled, and I just said update, and I clicked on update, and it gave me 8.1. All right, so I go to your website. I go to Infostar.com.
Right, and if you click on the current top 10, at the bottom of the list is going to be, you'll see it says Classic Shell. Yeah. Or you can search for it, too. And it basically allows you to get your desktop back and a few other options. And you still have Windows 8 underneath the hood, you know, on your machine.
Uh-huh.
But it's allowing you an interface that you're used to managing your system with. And
if
you decide to change to 8, you can still get back to it.
Yep.
Oh, very good. Very good. You've
made my day. Well, I can tell you when I put in a new system for my neighbors, and I turned it on after I transitioned their data and got it up, and I was like, they're never going to use this. It's not going to work. And I found
this. Really weird. I even went out and got Windows 8 for dummies. Mm. And for dummies. And it just didn't. I'm still struggling with it. It's crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, there are opinions out there about, well, you don't need this, or why would you want to do that? And it's, but my first reaction was, why are they not allowing me to shut off my computer? Because where do they put it?
Oh, man.
So anyhow, they're making an OS which they say transcends all their different devices. But again, you know, you can't alienate, you know, your desktop users. You got to make it livable and usable for them. And the majority seem to be of the opinion that it's, you know, it's not conducive to being used like it used to be.
Am I the only one that's having problems with Windows 8?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
No, that's why the new thing exists, allowing you to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And 8.1 fixes some issues that they had, bad issues that they had, because they just kind of discounted the fact that no one really used their operating system well. In fact, that a lot of people did, and they didn't know how to do things that were so easy in the past.
Yeah.
Like shutting off your computer.
Thanks, Karen. Good luck. Appreciate your call. Carl's in Mexico. Hi, Carl.
Hi there, guys.
Hi.
I got a question about an iPad 4.
Yeah.
Listening to a previous caller, I got something to throw in that could possibly be useful for them first.
Sure.
Your reference was Hackintosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might want to suggest to them try Ubuntu, Ubuntu Linux.
Yep.
Wonderful, wonderful, the newer versions. But I also have an advisory for anybody that wants. It's free and everything and real easy to install. But one advisory, if you're running a single core rather than a dual core or a multiple core processor, you might not want to go any further than version 12.04. on it. But real, okay. Real easy to go. And Larry, off the air, I'll pass my my DSL phone number to your reception. So maybe I can help somebody out that way. But my problem here about an iPad 4, I received from work mandatory iPad 4 with special software and everything and set up. But something really went weird here on me. When I got home, via the internet, I filled out my last time report for work and everything. Everything's working fine. And finished that. And then I figured, well, I'll just charge it up before I store it. And then I went back to unplug it and things. And it's done something like a factory reset. All of the special programs, everything was gone. It was a brand new system. any clues?
Well, from talking with Apple over what I've been through, they do not have any kind of time machine backup for their iDevices at the present time or anything that's easy to use like that. The only recourse you have is your most current full backup from the list of backups that you might have, from the computer you've connected to, and that you would have to attempt to do a restore that way.
Sounds like I have to wait for the office office to call me in again to a secured site that they have so that they can reinstall then, because they're the only ones that have the backups.
You got that right, Carl.
Yeah.
There you are. Oh, man.
Unless they start giving you permission to do it on your own machine.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for calling. Carolyn Whitewater.
One comment is related to whatever operating system you install on any hardware. So if you change over to Ubuntu or any version of Linux, is you always need to make sure that the device drivers are there for that operating system.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if it's Linux or, like I said, Hackintosh with Apple or Windows, whatever version of Windows. If you don't have those support for device drivers, you can't talk to those components of the hardware that you're trying to work with. Therefore, you're going to have either error messages or you're going to have less than optimum use. Where, for example, let's say the base visibility of looking at a screen is 640 by 480, the resolution. But you might have something that's 1600 by 1200. But if you don't have the device drivers to support that, you're only going to get the 640 by 480. And until that's fixed, it'll never change.
Hmm.
So that's just a real simple example of, not being prepared with all the right pieces.
Carolyn Whitewater, hello.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling because I had several computers. A desk model I purchased in 2009, and I had a couple different laptops. And through a series of disasters, fire, flood, and what have you, the two laptops didn't fare so well, even though they were, under warranty and repaired. And I'm left with this, 36-inch desk model, but now it's too old. It has operating system 10.5.8. And I've looked several times and gone to several different, Apple stores, and to figure out how to upgrade the operating system. They keep saying Panther and Mountain Lion and all these things, and I can't seem to get it right. So I'm wondering if you could tell me which order I need to go in with these big cats to get the operating system, because now I'm finding, certain software I need to use is, it's not operating.
I
don't know how to proceed.
Well, there's a couple of things going on here. Number one is, if you tell me you have 10.5.8, Some of the research I did online and some of the comments I've seen is people making changes, and you're talking about software that you need, is people making changes in terms of updates and upgrades and having problems after doing it because the things that they had working were no longer working, or they couldn't talk to the printer that they were using because, you know, all of a sudden new issues, you know, came about by making the change. So how old is that system that you're talking about updating? How many years old?
I bought it in like September 2009.
Four years. What you need to do is, if you want new software, you're trying to get new software to run on the machine?
Yeah, it's new versions. I use some a program called SPSS,
okay,
IBM,
yep,
program, and, mm-hmm, and it won't work. I mean, okay, it says, so I'm running an older version. I'm, you know, version 20, but, you know,
right,
22, okay, will come out.
Okay.
So,
well, what you need to do is you need to look at, you know, make sure you understand all the components of your hardware that are important in terms of the CPU, you know, what is the engine that's running your machine. So the make and model, and how much RAM you have in it. And you can get that in, you know, information, you know, on your, when you go up to the top left corner under system and look at info.
Yeah.
But what I would probably, to not lead you down the wrong path, but probably the best path, is to put down a list of the programs that you need to update to get working. Mm-hmm. And then I would take the information from your computer, and I would call Apple or go to an Apple store and talk to one of their individuals in terms of what are your options for upgrading your, perhaps maybe something to your hardware along with upgrading your OS, you know, because you may run into other glitches. And I don't want to say, hey, you should jump to 10.6.8, which is right before Mavericks, because you're the latest update, because your system may or may not support the latest update, but you may be underpowered in terms of hardware, you know, trying to get there, and then have more surprises,
right,
and they may not be good surprises along the way.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
So that's, and like, you know, I got surprised with doing one of the updates on my machine, and, you know, I was so enthusiastic about putting it on it, and then after the fact I found out that it, you know, took away one of my virtual drives. I wasn't too thrilled about that. Now, if I went into an Apple store or I picked up the phone, I called Apple and said, you know, this is what I have in my machine, would they have been able to tell me? It depends on who you talk to. But I think if you have a list of the information about your machine and the software that you want to be using, and then say, you know, will this get me there, or what does it need? What does it take to get me there? So I'm using a machine that I can use the new software. That's the way I would go about it.
Yeah. Good luck, Carol. Thank you, Gary in Marshfield. Hi, thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I've got two laptop computers. They're both running XP Professional. Well, one of them, the battery went dead, and ordered a new battery, and then followed the instructions on charging it and then doing a total discharge and then recharge in it. And I did that, and after that, what would happen if I unplugged the power cord from it? It'll run just a little short time, and it'll automatically shut down. Although my battery indicator shows, you know, a full charge, 99% or that, and also swap the battery over to the other computer, and it runs fine on that, and it shows. But the one computer, it automatically shuts down.
Hmm. There must be something going on in that hardware that's got a huge drain on that battery, or either that or the software that's communicating with it has got to be fixed. There's
sounds
a
like software, because the battery's working on the other computer if you move it to the other computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not only that, it did discharge when I first got the battery.
Mm-hmm.
It did discharge the battery. It went down, you know, I watched it as it went down, and it discharged it down to very low thing before it shut off.
Now, if you take that battery out of the machine where it shut off and put it in the other computer, does it have enough juice to run the other laptop? Or is it completely?
Yeah, it's yours full charge, and it'll run fine on the other laptop.
Yeah. It sounds like there's an. What you may want to do is in the control panel in XP under power options is actually shut that off. You know, I'm just taking a stab here. Is shut off all your power options and then save it and then shut off your machine and then bring it back up and then reapply them and see if that helps.
Sometimes just
shutting them off and taking them out and then saving it and restarting it might help.
It's amazing how often, like just a restart.
Yeah.
Can make a difference.
Yeah, I was, you know, the earlier caller had a problem with the iPhone and Wi-Fi. I was thinking, you know, that one of the first things you do is just shut it off and turn it back on and see if that helps. But she'd already taken it to the Apple store and they were doing that. So
obviously
something different.
Yep, something different.
Maybe a compatibility with the router that she has at home, because I've seen stuff like that pop up. But, you know, as far as what you're going through with the battery, if you've got two known devices that you're working with and you know one works and the other one is having an issue, you got to try and shake it up.
Shake it up. Thanks very much for calling. Good luck, Gary. Peter Green of InfoStar.com will be with us right up until 12:30. We'll take a look at the news and we'll be right back with Peter. You stay with us. With so many of us using computers every day at home and work or both, certainly if you're like me, you rely on them a lot. And we both rely on Peter Green as well. Pete's an independent computer consultant, comes by the first Monday of each month to help us with our computer problems. And Peter, thanks again for joining us. Appreciate it very much.
Always great, Larry.
And at this time of the show, we always take a look at his list of top 10 list, we call it. Right?
You know, I'd like to say that I try to outdo each month, but it's just, you know, they just keep, you know, amazing me of the stuff out there. You know, people have called in over the years about, you know, working with pictures and stuff like that. This first one, and if you go to InfoStar.com, click on the top left where it says current or the top 10 archives and scroll down to today's date, they're all there. This first one is Pixlr, PIXLR.com, and it claims to be the most popular online photo editor in the world, but it's also an add-on to browsers to working with pictures, and it's just the features are just amazing. It's free. So if you work with photos, you owe it to yourself to check this out, if you don't know about it. Number two, findhomebuilding.com is a great resource for homeowners. Articles, videos, tool guides, a lot more. And as you know, I've mentioned I'm into hockey. Well, I got to put a hockey link up there. It's called thehockeywriters.com, and it's a news resource for hockey, for the NHL and also the minor leagues. And it's also got stuff about the history of the sport. Number four, it's kind of been pushing itself along the popularity of social media. It's called Instagram. And it's a way to share your life with friends through a series of pictures taken with your phone. And, you know, much like Facebook and Twitter, it's become very popular. Number five is, Thyca.org, THYCA.org. And it's Thyroid Cancer Survivors Association. And it's been out there since 1995.
Wow.
And it's just a chock full resource of information and help for people dealing with that. NobleDesktop.com. And, you know, I know people are affected by it, but I also have a background in physiology and endocrinology. So, you know, when I see these things, I don't just like scan them. I take a look and see if they're
right,
if they're any good. And I looked at that and I was like, wow, that's pretty amazing. NobleDesktop.com is number six. It's a computer graphics training resource, and it's got some really good free material. And, for example, if you work with Photoshop, it's got a Photoshop keyboard shortcuts for the Mac, and I put the link up there. So that's pretty cool. Number seven is called Fantrax, FANTRAX.com, and it's for fantasy sports lovers, so enjoy that one. Number eight is called federalreporting.gov, And let's just, instead of me reading this, let's just say it's another way to check out federal reports as related to this Section 1512 of the Recovery Act. It's got a whole bunch of stuff up there. Number 9 is called Pay Scale, and it's a free salary report. So I put the question up there, what are you worth? And and number 10 is called GitHub, G-I-T-H-U-B. And it's an online collaboration site for code review and code management for open source and private projects. And I put a link to another resource that's similar to that. All there at the current top 10 at infostar.com.
Perfect. And thank you for that. And I'm going to give our people have been waiting online a little bit. The number to call, by the way, for you to join in, we do have an open line, 1-800-642-1234. Sylvia in Ripon has been waiting. Thank you for waiting. Hi.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Hi.
I have an original iPad, the very first one that came out. And as far as I understand, they don't make the iOS 7 update for that iPad. What has been happening, however, is a lot of my apps that I've purchased for my job, I've invested a significant amount of money on apps. I do in-home autism therapy, and some of them are kind of bizarre apps. But a lot of them have been updating, and they've been adapting to the iOS system.
Right.
So it's causing glitches on the iPad when I try and run them because mine does not have the iOS updating system. Do you have any solution to that, or if there's a way to, like, restore them to the original system?
So what's happened is usually if you try to apply an update, most of the developers, from what I've seen, usually say this won't work on your iOS, so they don't do it. But it sounds to me like you've done some updates and you're having glitches with what's been applied to your iPad. Is that correct? So you're trying to get them back?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I can think of that you might be able to do, and this is how I see it playing out, is you need to contact the developer directly. Tell them your situation, that you're working in a locked-in, you're working in with the iPad, that you cannot update to 7.0 whatever, and that you would like to see if you're able to reinstall the latest version of their app that works on your iPad. And what I see playing out is they may be nice enough to do that, but you would probably have to delete the non-working one off of your iPad and then attempt to reinstall the one that they would give to you.
Sure.
And I don't know how that whole communication between them giving it to you, whether or not it's something they email to you and then you click on it and then it would install on your iPad, you know, how that plays out. But, you know, you would have to find out the details from them.
Yep.
Now, thank you for your help.
The other thing is, as far as constantly getting notified and badgered about updates that you really shouldn't be applying because, like you said, you can't upgrade to the latest version, is you could probably turn off push notification from the individual apps so that you're not getting information, you know, you're constantly not getting badgered from them that there's an update.
There you go. Good luck, Sylvia. Thanks for calling. Travis in Verona, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi.
I really appreciate your program.
Well, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I've got an Acer computer. It's like built in 2007. It's an older one. And I put a solid-state hard drive in it and was upgrading the Windows 7 operating system. All that went fine. The Windows 7 worked really well. The problem I'm having is getting online, like a modem driver type thing. It works for a little while, and then if I shut the computer down, it doesn't recognize that there's an internet driver there again. Sometimes when I restart the computer and then unplug the modem and replug it back in, it'll work for a little while, but this last time I left the computer off for like 6-7 days, and I can't get it to come back on.
So has that been going on since day one?
Yep. You know, we had to search for an internet driver because the Aspire came with Vista.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to their website, their modem driver is specific for XP and Vista, I think.
Right.
It doesn't, you know, because they didn't have 7 in 07.
Right.
But now I'm told that Vista and 7 drivers will work the same, but it doesn't seem to be that. Maybe it's another issue. I don't know.
Right. Well, you might. So is this a cable modem, like for, you know, high-speed internet? And you're
exactly. Yep.
Okay. Now, are you just plugged directly into the cable modem with your computer and not through a router?
Right now, I just have an Ethernet cord, yep.
Uh-huh.
I've never used the router yet, so.
Yeah, the thing that you might want to consider doing is there might be a glitch where you might have compatibility issues between your computer and the cable modem, but if you have your cable modem plugged into a router and then you plug into the router, you know, you might be able to circumvent that.
Okay.
That's just one thought. You don't have to spend a lot on a router. You can buy routers for, you know, $25 to $50, and they work just fine. But I've seen it where there are compatibility issues. And, in fact, in working with Charter locally in one of the residents that I'm at, I called up to troubleshoot something, and they said, "Oh no, we own this box. You know, you can't you can't take it out, you know, and change it with yours, because we don't have problems with this particular model of cable modem, and you know, we like that."
Oh.
I said, you know, I asked, "Are we paying rent on this, or is there a fee?" And they said, "No, this is ours, and you're using it, and we're all good."
Yeah.
So they have had issues, you know, with those things in the past. So I don't know if that's something that they're recently doing.
An old Motorola modem, and I got a new one, and it was a Cisco.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still kind of the same issue. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, still kind of the same.
Hmm.
Well, I wish we had more for you.
Yeah,
Travis?
The only thing I could think of is just, you know, with the cable modem being on all the time, if you go through a router, you know, maybe having that go-between might help.
Yeah. Good luck. Thank you for calling. Earl in Medford, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. Just aware of a malware that's supposed to demand ransom. It's called CryptoLocker. It sounds very vicious. If you're familiar with that and how we can deal with it.
Well, one is to keep your antivirus programs as updated as possible. It's not 100%, but it's as close as you can get just by keeping it current. Since they already know it's out there, you know, if you keep your antivirus software current, then you'll be pre-screening that. So the likelihood of it getting through, unless you allow it to get through, is pretty slim.
Yeah. Yep. That's the main way to do it. Thanks, Earl.
You know, the other thing is, I was thinking about this the other day. If your system ever seems like it's being hijacked and, you know, there's a program that says, hey, you've got 280 running programs and your Windows is being compromised and, you know, it's popping up on your screen, it's okay to actually unplug your computer and just shut it off, you know, just crash it, because if one of those things gets through, it can be a royal pain. If you click on it and say, "Oh, okay, I want to check and see, you know, what's going on in my computer, because this thing is going to help fix it," or it says, "I found all these and I'm going to fix it," just pull the plug on it and crash it. Your system will recover from that, but a lot better than answering, "Yeah, go ahead and check out my system and test it for all those." So I've seen people do that, and I said, you know what? Just unplug it. Don't go any further.
And then there's one like I got this morning, supposedly from one of my former students from about 8 years ago, who supposedly is in Russia now and needs a bunch of money.
Yeah.
He lost his all this and that. So I shot him an email and had an email address for him. So I went online and shot him an email and said, somebody's hijacked your system here a little bit. Linda in Rice Lake, hello.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Hi.
Sure. I have an iPad 3 that for the last week has not been able to receive emails. I can send, and our laptop computer at home also receives and sends, and I can't figure out how to fix it.
Have you gone into settings and reviewed them to make sure?
Yes, I have, and everything looks according to what it's supposed to look like.
Did you shut it off and turn it back on again?
Yes, I did that as well.
Okay. Something maybe you want to do is just redo the settings. In other words, because usually with the iPad, you're receiving them to that tablet to look at them, but they're not actually residing on the tablet, is to delete the account. Are you saying it's across the board that all of the email accounts on the iPad are not able to send?
Correct. But no, that's to receive. I can send.
But you can't receive.
From any of them, but I cannot receive.
So is it across just all the email accounts on the system, or is it just one?
Yes. No.
All of them.
I have two on there, and neither one.
Okay. That's one I haven't had.
Yeah, I haven't. Usually, you know, if you're having a glitch with one, you look at the settings. But if you're having them with all of them, have you updated this to the most recent iOS?
Well, and that's I updated about a week ago, and a half ago.
And that's when that's when.
Since then.
Yeah.
You may
want to contact Apple and say that's when it started, because That's what these updates are for, is when people tell them that there are problems and then they fix them. Because for some reason, why did they change that, or why did that change on your system? It happened.
Yeah,
and if it can be traced back to the fact that you did the update and that's when it did happen, at least your iPad didn't get bricked in the process, because sometimes that happens too.
Yeah. So you need to go back.
And I would contact Apple and let them know, because that's what their fixes are for.
Yeah.
I think when 7.0 came out, one of the problems was people were able to have their devices broken into, so they quickly came out with 7.01. So no one notified them that they were having problems, then they never would have come out with a fix to it.
Yeah, that's right. I just updated my iPhone, and then I couldn't reach the phone would not ring when somebody called, and so it would go to
voicemail.
Voicemail, all the calls. I have no idea how I fixed it, but I was turning it on and off and fooling around with settings, and really turning off and on some settings.
That made the difference.
Made the difference.
Yeah.
We have Boris in Glendale, who's trying to reinstall Windows 7 because he thought he had a virus. The reinstallation went successfully, but when he shut down the computer and restarted it, his computer brings back everything as it was before the installation. Did he do something wrong? How do I make the reinstall stick? That's another easy one.
Well, when you reinstall Windows, if you boot up with a Windows disk, or if you're to boot up with a factory restore, the factory restore tells you that it's going to overwrite and restore to factory settings and wipe out the partition. When you're trying to redo it and you reboot with Windows, it'll tell you that there's already an existing Windows installation, and it will call the existing Windows installation windows.old, but it will install a brand new version of Windows, and it will create a new desktop for you. So if he's saying that he actually did a reinstall, but he has the old stuff, it sounds like it didn't take.
It never went
through.
Okay.
Because the reinstall will take, depending upon the hardware, anywhere from 25 to maybe 40 minutes, and it will go through and tell you what it's doing. And, it doesn't sound like it actually was accomplished.
James emailed and has been infected with the Google redirect virus a couple of times in the last year. The only way he's found to get rid of it so far has been to do a restore. Malwarebytes doesn't work, nor any other cleaner he could find. That seems to work. However, he's discovered that whenever he tries to download something from Google, such as Chrome, he gets reinfected.
Hmm.
Is there a better way to get rid of this virus? Why do I get reinfected when I download Chrome?
Well, it sounds like he's got something that's operating in stealth mode on his
system.
And if I believe it's Neighbor, but if you go to my tips page, I believe it's on my tips page. The very last tip is about how to expose stealth programs on your computer that are running. And to me, it sounds like there's some kind of stealth program where he thinks he's going to one site, but he's actually being redirected to another. Because if your system's been infected by any of those kind of programs, they mutate, they change, they're moving targets. And you may think you got rid of it, but you need to, you know, verify that you have nothing running that is you know, malicious on your system that you can't see.
And James in West Bend has a five-month-old PC running Windows 8. All works well except when he walks away for 5 minutes, the internet disconnects. It will also do this when he's putting it into the sleep mode. It will always reconnect, but the 3 to 5 minute wait is a little annoying.
Hmm. I wonder if he's got, you know, you said this was Windows 8?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could very well be a glitch with Windows 8.
Oh, you know, sure.
You know, I would contact the place where you got the computer from and see if they can offer some tech support on what might be going on with that, because that it might be fixed by 8.1. I'm not sure about that, but that it's possible.
Yeah, and then just here's actually Deborah's online, but just because we're almost out of time. She gets a Facebook update even though she's not on the internet. She has a Samsung tablet.
So she's receiving a Facebook update. Well, you're receiving an update from Facebook because you're somehow in their system. You know, somewhere you were put in. And whether or not it was you that put yourself in or somebody else put you in for you, you know, that's how you're getting communicated.
So you need to go to Facebook.
You need to go to Facebook and
get yourself off if you went off.
Right.
Yeah, that's probably what happened.
You know what's interesting about Facebook that came out was how the next generation coming up is wanting to have their own identity. So they're migrating away from Facebook because it's too popular for the age above them. So they're finding things like Twitter and you know, Instagram, and who knows what the next blockbuster is going to be.
We'll find out sooner. Pete, thanks a lot. Appreciate it very much.
Great, Larry. Thank you.
He'll be back on Monday, December 2nd. Peter Green of Infostar.com. Tomorrow, we'll take a look at a new public TV program. I've seen it. It's great. It's called Around the Table. In the meantime, stay with us. Lots in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.